Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week, we're talking about creatures in CEDH, the top 10 of them. We've done this once before, two-ish years ago, two and a half.
Yeah, it was our second podcast when I went full time.
Oh, so that's 2 years ago? That can't be true. Maybe
well,
that's
it was 2023 that we started.
You're
that.
Kidding me.
Yeah, I know, right?
Holy shit. Okay, so it's been a while. There have been a lot of cards printed. The list, I imagine, will be close to it. You've looked at it. I haven't looked at it since 2023.
Correct. Yeah, I went through the last video so that we could make a little bit of money on YouTube revenue ads.
Extra view, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That, yeah.
Thank you for that 1/1000th of a penny that you've given.
Oh, you're welcome. So I have
the list.
Previous top 10 list that we had set up, and actually, I'm a little surprised at how few creatures I want to consider to be included on the top 10 list that have been printed since we did this original list.
Okay.
I'm scrutinizing these creatures very hard. Yeah. I've got three right off the bat that I want to throw some honorable mentions
sure.
to here.
Yeah.
Or I guess two off the bat I want to throw honorable mentions to.
It is kind of tricky when like evaluating creatures because there's many different ways you could evaluate them. You know, how good is this creature once it's in play versus how good is this creature on its own in your opening hand? Thassa's Oracle, if you're doing what Thassa's Oracle wants to be doing, it's winning you the game. It's doing the best thing that any card could do. But if it's in your opening hand without Demonic Consultation, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's the worst creature. You never want to see it in your opening hand unless you actually have Consult or whatever. And it's not good. So it makes it difficult to like rate it. Like how good is it really? Is it Deathrite Shaman? I guess that's not a good example for CDH, but is it like, what's the best card on its own? Ragavan?
Like,
I don't know.
In the 60 card formats, the thing you want to have on turn one most is Ragavan.
Right, yeah.
Imagine.
Or, but like Emrakul is also like the most powerful creature ever. If you could have that on the stack, you would want that turn one right away, but it just takes a lot more work to get there. All to say there's many different ways that we could be evaluating these creatures. So what are your honorable mentions?
All right, so my two honorable mentions that I have right off the bat, I think are going to be Poliwag Prodigy and Fairy Mastermind.
Yeah.
Because these are two cards that a lot of decks play, but there's like reasons to cut them because they don't really hold up to the power level of all of the other card advantage engines that we've gotten or that we already have.
Yeah, they're not as good as Rhystic Study.
Exactly. Yeah, right. They're not as good as like, you know, Mystic Remora or Esper Sentinel, right? Like there's a lot of things that are better, so there's reason to cut them, and they have different synergies in different decks that make them better, but I don't think they quite make top 10 contention when you consider all of the cards that we get. And the other thing that I want to keep in mind too is that like the design of creatures right now is we're pushing creatures and we're holding back on spells and all of that other stuff. So we're getting a lot more powerful creatures, which means that I have to like be extra harsh when I'm grading creatures in general when I'm trying to figure out what the top 10s are.
Yeah, both of these cards that you mentioned, Poliwag Prodigy and Fairy Mastermind, are cards that always for some reason look great when other people have them and look terrible when I have them. They don't do anything for me, but they're great for other people sometimes. The Poliwag Prodigy, you kind of have to be able to evolve it pretty consistently, pretty quickly, or have it on turn one, which is like you want it early in the game or like right when you're about to do other stuff, like in the middle of the game, which is like good spots for it to be.
Because turn one Poliwag Prodigy when you're going last, like sets you behind so much of the value that you were going
to
get.
Right, yeah. So you really have to be able to like evolve it pretty consistently. And Fairy Mastermind, I only really like Fairy Mastermind in very few amount of decks at like Derevi or Rogthras, a deck that can make infinite mana. And then for some reason with Thrasios, maybe there's a Dranith Magistrate out, or with Derevi, you need the infinite mana plus something else. Fairy Mastermind, there's a button. You can press the button and draw everyone and you all of the stuff. And because you have endurance and protection or whatever, normally you can create a win from that. So I like Fairy Mastermind there also.
My biggest problem with Fairy Mastermind has been that it requires you to have other card advantage engines in play already for it to be good. Because you are losing out on the card advantage from other players, right? If they draw two and you're only drawing one, that math doesn't add up, right?
But it allows you to keep up with three opponents better than just one opponent. Because if three opponents have draw engines, then for each time they're drawing their second card is what it is, right?
Exactly.
You get the card too.
Which is why I like it if you already have your own Rissic Study too, because you're also getting fed other cards, but you're also getting more incidental value off of other players additionally being fed. So weirdly enough, I feel like it's more like a TEDH kind of card for when I want to see my entire deck casually as I'm going through.
It's certainly better in those Rissic Study pods. Those all blue grind engine pods, Fairy Mastermind in particular is best there, I feel like.
I don't think it's a top 10 creature.
All right, so that one's out. Those two are out. Those are not top 10 creatures. We're not even going to rate those cards.
No, we're not. Well,
I guess we should though, right?
We should rate them?
Because last time when we did the top 10 creatures, we had a predetermined list. This time, since then, we have modified our style when coming up with these lists and we come up with the list as we go, the order of it.
Okay, well then I think what we should do is we should go through the last top 10.
Yeah.
And then we should rate all of those things and then add the four creatures that I want to add to the list and then rate them. And then that way we'll know what our top 10 is based off that.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I have four cards then
that
have been printed since we did the last video
that
I think are considerable. If you have any to add, we can add them.
I haven't thought about this. Yes. The only ones that I'm really going to be considering are either one, probably ones that you have thought about, or two weird Sisse cards, which probably don't belong on this list.
There's no way that a weird Sisse card is going to belong on this list.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
We're talking about generically powerful cards or like impact wise, right? Like I have one in particular, an honorable mention that we could talk about that fits this category of like it's a specific impact in a deck.
Do you want to talk about it right now?
Sowing Mycospawn?
Yeah.
That's is that a card on your list?
That's a good one. No, it's not, but that is a good one. I think that's one that maybe I should be considering more because of its ability to go get Gaia's Cradle on its cast trigger.
Yeah, and its ability to remove another Gaia's Cradle on its cast trigger
which is increasingly more important, enough.
I'm not looking for Strip Mine yet. I'm not looking for things that specifically target Gaia's Cradle, but I am keeping an open mind when I'm thinking about removal or something like a card like this, where like if it has the ability to kill a Gaia's Cradle, maybe I would consider it a little bit more now than I would have 6 months ago.
That's true.
Mycospawn specifically because Rockthrass has been picking up a lot of popularity and I've seen a lot of other decks kind of follow suit. Tyler recently just told me his Kinnan list. He has like updated 10 Rogthrash cards basically and put them into Kinnan.
Oh, that just makes so much sense.
He's doing the Sowing Mycospawn.
The Breeze Caller line makes so much sense,
right? If you're making 1,000 mana, it's perfect.
You can make infinite with Talon Gates' secret ability of tapping and for one other color of mana, filtering out another color of mana.
Huh.
Nobody ever thinks of that, right? But
like
you can turn infinite mana of your green Gaia's Cradle mana into mana that's blue by continually going through your Ouroboros Breeze Caller line.
Ouroboros Breeze Caller, yeah. Okay, so yeah. So all that to say, Sowing Mycospawn, I think, is a card that I'm considering more. Although it only sees play in specific cards, it's not like a Sisse card. It's not Pippin, you know, that only sees play in Sisse because it's weird.
And I think for this list, it's really important to talk about like universally powerful cards that if you're in these colors, you're going to want.
You're at least considering it, right?
Exactly,
and I think Sowing Mycospawn is there. I don't know if this card is a 5 out of 5. It doesn't go in every green deck, but I do think it's pretty powerful right now, and I like what it does. So it's getting so much more difficult for some reason for me with the 0 through 5 scale of how to rate these cards, but I think this is somewhere around a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3 as well. Yeah, a 3 as well. Because it's good in like certain strategies and not too much outside of that. Although I would say that the two draw engines, the creature draw engines that we talked about already, probably going to be a little bit closer to a 3.5. Because they have a little bit more flexibility. Like you don't necessarily have to build the entirety of your deck around them. It's just like if your commander works well with them, there's a good reason to put them in.
They're a little bit more generically powerful, I will say. I will say the Gaia's Cradle strategy, I think, is a little bit... I don't even know if that's true. I was going to say the guy's cradle strategy is a little bit more powerful than the blue draw engine strategy, but I don't think that's true. I think the blue draw engine strategy, I think Tim Necrom is still the best deck, and it does not play guy's cradle.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it is improving. Guy's cradle is improving, which means inching the status up of all of the other creatures that go along with guy's cradle will improve inching too. Up.
Yeah, but I think you're right. Both of those cards, I don't know that I would say 3.5. I would say the frog, I would say, is like a 3.2, and the fairy is like a 3.1. For me, that's where I'm setting them.
Well, then here's an example of a card that I want to add to the conversation for top 10 creatures.
Okay. Yeah,
Valley Floodcaller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Easily.
Do you see how there's a disparaging difference between the honorable mentions and the cards I actually want to consider for the top 10?
Yeah, and this is the one that I was thinking of. Like, this is the card that we're both thinking of. Is Valley Floodcaller is easily the most impactful card that has seen CDH play in years, probably.
In the past 6 months, it's certainly the most impactful card that we've seen altogether, I want to say.
And this one is kind of interesting because it's similar to Thassa's Oracle, but a little different in that this card works with a lot of cards in your deck, but it needs to be working with other cards in your deck. It doesn't do anything on its own. Whereas Thassa's Oracle it works very well with specific cards, and then cards like Sowing Microspawn works great on its own. You don't need anything else. Well, you need the creatures, I guess that's a bad example. But the Valley Floodcaller, you do need other stuff. It doesn't create on its own.
I think it's an example of a card that's good in CEDH. Yeah. That, like, if we did a generic creatures list, the top 10 creatures in all of Magic, this wouldn't be anywhere near the list.
No.
Because it's only good with how CEDH plays.
Yeah.
And the nature of, like, wanting to be able to win on top of other people once all of the protection is out of players' hands, like, that is super important. I feel like it just does what you want to be doing in CEDH already very well.
And it works specifically well with the Rhystic Studies style of play. Since everyone is drawing so many cards on not their own turn due to passive effects, things change so much by the time it gets somewhere else. So you have to be prepared to, like, operate in, like, very weird windows. You pass the turn with 5 mana open because you just have a Mystic Remora, but you're like, sometimes it's better to just do that and then hope that off of the Mystic Remora, what if you draw 15 cards? What if you can present a win then when you didn't have it? So, like, while you could have tapped out on your turn because you don't have anything else in your hand, why not just tap out? That draw engine gives you the ability to maybe do something else in the future, and Valley Floodcaller is so good at working with that strategy.
I feel like even that is just, like, understating how powerful it is. But that's because I don't think that there are words to show how powerful it is to not have to commit things and get infinite amounts of information that you can use before you have to commit your mana to do things.
Yep, and we've talked about this before. Oftentimes, it feels like winning second is the best way to win the game of CDH, unless you do it early enough. If you win early enough, that maybe it isn't the case. But oftentimes, winning second is, like, the best way to do it, and Valley Floodcaller allows you to do that. Valley Floodcaller allows you to dodge the punch coming in and then put him in the arm bore or whatever. I don't know fighting terms, but it allows you to hit second. It allows you to dodge the first hit, allows your opponents to waste their energy, and then you can go. And then also, it's a combo. It's a combo piece, right? With the
Retraction Helix and Banishing Knack both work with it. Yeah, if you have another mana rock and you can keep tapping your Valley Floodcaller to use the Banishing Knack ability on the mana rock, you get to recast the mana rock, untap your creature, then use the mana from the mana rock to float it. You just keep doing that over and over again.
Right, and the fact that, like, this works really well with Enduring Vitality is something that gives all of your creatures the ability to tap for mana. Just, like, for some reason, the 4 specific creature types that allows it to untap, something like the Rat Maker. What's the Rat Maker? Totentaz?
Song of Totentaz.
Song of Totentaz is such a bizarre card, but when you pair it with all of these other things, like Gaia's Cradle, that's a bunch of creatures now. Gaia's Cradle taps for a bunch. Those are a bunch of rats that now untap every time you cast a non-creature with the Valley Floodcaller.
I have Earthcraft and a basic land now, right? So we all have a hasty way to make me mana.
So it's just, like, Valley Floodcaller is such an important part of, like, tying all of that shit together, while also being such an important part of the Necropotence plan of now...
Necro
for 7, pass a turn. Necro for 30, go to the end step with the 30 cards, Valley Floodcaller, and present to win in the end step while you still have those cards. That's much more doable now because of Valley Floodcaller.
Exactly. Necropotence has pushed so many of the other, you know, black big draw spells out of the format now because this is such a better way to be able to go through your deck.
Yeah, oftentimes when I'm playing Rock'side, Ad Nauseam feels like the backup plan now, which is so bizarre. Yeah. But, like, really, it's just easier to get Necropotence and play on turn 1 off of Beseech or off, it's just, like, less mana. So if I can make 5 mana, Demonic Tutor and Necropotence is better than, like, Demonic Tutor and Ad Nauseam for next turn or something. I want to do it now. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll say Valley Floodcaller works so well with so many other powerful things in CDH. I'm rating it a 5. It's got to be a five right now.
It's got to be a five. So this is going to be funny because if we're trying to line all of these things up,
oh, yeah,
like we're going to have a lot of fives and like how are we going to rank fives together?
That's true.
So I think what we should also do is give it a tiebreaker thing as well. So we need to associate something else that's a non-numeral so that we can determine what its tiebreaker is going to be.
An amount of stars? Like a second out of five rating?
It can't. I feel like that's a numeral though. You're trying to give it an out of five. Sure. And I don't want to do something like that.
Sure.
I think we need either like a letter or like a food to associate it with.
Letters are basically numbers.
Yeah. So like, is there...
want something vague, something more vague.
Something a little bit more vague that will still make sense if we need to compare it to something else.
Foods are tricky because due to my dietary restrictions being vegan, all of mine are going to be skewed.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that is, foods is a little bit tricky. We could do colors again.
What if we did... I don't want to do color. We've already done
that's,
colors.
No, that's
what if
insane.
We did woods?
Woods?
Yeah.
Like oak, pine?
Like we called this a mahogany.
I don't know if I know enough woods to do that, but... That feels too abstract. We should at least do something that I feel like we have to do something number-ish that at least provides
a lot
value.
About you and that you don't know enough about woods to be able to.
Let me try to name
these.
All the woods that I can think of right now.
Okay.
Oak, mahogany, but really only because you just said that. Is pine a type of wood?
Pine's a wood, yeah.
Pine is a wood. Oak, mahogany, pine, oak. Did I say that?
Yeah, you already said that.
Oh, shit. Ply. Ply is a type of wood.
That's true.
All right, let's get off wood. We're going off of wood.
All right, yeah.
Let's just assign a letter to it.
Another letter to it.
Yeah.
But it can't be A, S, or any of those normal ones. We have to start from the backwards part of the alphabet.
You want to make it
so
purposefully
Z,
confusing.
Y, X, W.
Because Valley Flood Caller, if we're going back to, doesn't actually go in every single CDH deck. It goes in most, but
it's
not every.
It's powerful enough that all of the best decks are going to play it.
Yeah.
But a lot of maybe tier 1.5, tier 1.75 decks aren't going to want it.
Interesting. Yeah, that's true.
So maybe that's why instead of giving Valley Flood Caller a 5Z, maybe we give Valley Flood Caller like a 5W. Because it's still really good. But it's not going to necessarily make its way into every single deck.
Sure.
Great.
I don't want to spend any more time focusing on the second rating system of letters.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to understand the second rating system of letters exclusively to myself.
And that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters. And if you in the comments can figure it out too.
I think we should assign a second number system to it. Like this should be a 5.4, I think.
But that's one number now.
Yeah. Like an excessive decimals, like a full.
So you want to stick to what we normally do then?
No, realistically, I don't want to spend any more time trying to figure it out.
Okay.
This is more time.
All right. What if we called it like a 5? Yeah,
we already went with
so
W.
Long.
You already locked in W.
5W. Okay. I'll tell you what. Maybe the next card we'll give another number to.
It'll help us. We don't know what we're rating it against really yet. So it'll help us to figure out what we're rating it
you
against.
You know what? That's very true. It's very difficult in this vacuum.
Right. Yeah. And then once we get then we'll figure out, oh, maybe letters doesn't work. Maybe we should be doing
something
else. All
right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about Lotho.
Lotho.
Corrupt Shyriff.
That can't, wait, when did Lord of the Rings set come out?
After
we did the thing.
We started doing
it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know because I edited all of the set review episodes after the podcast went full time.
Okay.
And you did set review episodes before that.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. Yeah. Lotho. So good.
Yeah. Lotho. Whenever a player casts their second spell, make a treasure, you lose a life.
It's a 2/1, which stinks. That's the Bowmaster, whatever. Another
also
card that we'll talk about.
In two colors. Like you have
two
to
colors.
Be in white, black, but
yeah.
I feel like you want to be because that's Timna colors.
Right. Yeah.
So like that means that every single deck that can play this card is going to. It's Mini Smothering Tithe.
It's Mini Smothering Tithe is a good way to look at it. It's also a legend for Sisse, which is specifically important to
it's
me.
Also
and
nice,
and
yeah.
Mixed mana. It's like it's so good in Sisse because two color legends are particularly important because when Sisse is a 4/4, you can get three drops, and your best three drops are like Sovala or Derevi,
yeah.
Or like the combo pieces, I think. So Lotho's great for that. And it makes mana. It makes so much mana. And the life is irrelevant. The
exactly,
life lost part
yeah.
is irrelevant.
I think it's also super important that you can make more mana on your turn when you need it. So it like sets up plays that you normally wouldn't be able to do with a lot of other, you know, treasure making engines that are like
right.
this.
Yeah, cast Lotho, Mox Amber on your turn, and then all of a sudden it's basically free.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you have two mana
now. You spend two mana, but you have two mana up and available. You can do something else with. And so the fact that it's like effectively one mana, but sometimes it'll feel closer to zero mana when you cast it, and then it's just like free treasures for the rest of the game. That's so important.
Yeah.
And the mana is very crucial. We have so many draw engines in CDH, but we don't have a ton of mana engines realistically, which is why decks like Kinnan and cards like Valley Flood Caller that allow you to produce that extra mana at specific moments is so helpful. Otherwise, you get funneled on mana a lot of the times, and you maybe you draw 15 cards, but you can't cast any of them.
You have to go through more hoops in those kind of decks, whereas like Thrasios Timna just gets more options for mana advantage, and you can just go, well, instead of having to play all these weird cards together, I can just slam one good card down and get all my mana from that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
it kind of frees you up that way.
It frees you up, and you don't have to waste time playing a mana dork on turn three and then waiting until turn four for it to untap.
You get four mana, technically, the option to get up to, you know, way more
it's
than
way,
that.
Technically,
it's
like
because it resets for every player every turn.
Yeah, if every player plays two spells on every turn, theoretically, it's like 4, 8, 12, 16.
Why is this not a game changer? Should this be on the game changer?
Because that never happens, realistically. That's never going to happen. I can't imagine what you actually, but like, I think you could theoretically get 16 treasures on the first turn cycle. That's
which
like,
would be wild.
Right?
Yeah.
Which would be so stupid.
Wow, I want to play that deck that lets you do that.
Lothos, it's a. Is it a five? So it's a five, right?
It's a five in the sense that every card that's black and white plays this card.
Every deck that's black and white plays this card.
Every...
You said card, you meant deck.
Every card that plays this deck.
Lotho goes in every deck that is black and white, which I think, right? Is there... I'm going to try to real think. Fuck, I'm putting Taim together right now, and I should know this. Does Lotho go in Taim?
If
I think
you
no.
Don't put you wouldn't put Lotho in Taim?
I don't think so. You have so many rule of laws.
Oh, do you?
Look up a time list real quick. I'm not getting this wrong anymore. I feel like they might not play. That feels wrong though, right? You just need so much mana.
Oh, okay. So maybe it depends on what you do. The first list that I got is a Taim mid-range ad nauseum list, which does play Lotho.
That can't be right though. I've seen that list before. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Luminous Grindstone. Okay, so Taim doesn't play it.
Yeah.
I think 90% of Taim decks don't play it, I would say.
But Taim's a weird one. I would say most others do play it. And so maybe it's similar to Valley Floodcaller, that like if you're in a weird deck, like Sisay doesn't play Valley Floodcaller, right? But most other tier one decks, and I think Sisay is basically tier one. It's still doing pretty well, actually.
Sisay is definitely tier one.
Right? Like it's still tier one. It is a consistent deck. It is strangely consistent.
I think it's right there, yeah.
Yeah, so weird decks aren't going to play it. Taim isn't going to play Lotho, but generic, just like most decks are going to want to play Lotho, I think.
So I think for that reason, I'm going to give Lotho a 5Y.
So it's more powerful than Valley Floodcaller.
I would set that a little higher than Valley Floodcaller then, right?
It doesn't exactly produce on its own, but it passively kind of does produce on its own.
It's the same way as Valley Floodcaller, where it doesn't produce on its own. It needs some more things, but I think there's more black and white decks that need Lotho than blue decks that want Valley.
And Lotho can create on its own from your perspective, because you don't have to invest anything in it, and your opponents can feed it. Valley Floodcaller, your opponents can't feed it. Must invest your own things into it. So I think you're right. Lotho is a 5-point Y, a little bit better than Valley Floodcaller, which is kind of interesting.
It is interesting to think about, but I mean...
Yeah, I would rather a card that has the ability to create on its own in most situations, although obviously Valley Floodcaller is strong.
In a vacuum, Lotho's better, I guess. Yeah. Do you want to hear another card that I think we should talk about
Let's go for another one.
Orcish Bowmaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go.
This card is really good. It has flash. It's a 1-1 for one and a black. When it enters, you deal a damage to any target and amass one, and you get to do the same thing whenever an opponent draws a card that's not their first card that they draw for turn during their draw step.
This one is part of a win condition. Again, I'm going to bring up Sisay. When you make infinite mana, you go find Kinnan, you activate Kinnan, you go find Bowmaster with Emil, which you can find off Sisay. You flicker it over and over again, you win the game.
There's a lot of other decks that it's a part of
a lot of other decks
that
it's a win. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Tyler's Crom Timna deck uses it a lot as a win condition, because eventually you start to make like infinite copies of all of your creatures, and you can make infinite copies of Bowmaster and use
Krark
the ETB. What did I said?
Crom.
So I said the wrong deck twice.
Twice, yeah. It's Krark Timna. But yeah, 100%. Bowmaster works as a win condition, works as removal, works with really good synergy with your Wheel of Fortunes. It is very helpful in a Rhystic Study world where everyone's drawing cards and you get to keep the table at bay and you make a big creature in the meantime.
A lot of the times it's better at punishing creatures in the draw strategy. Like, I don't like to think that it punishes the card draw. It's you're using the card draw to punish the creatures, which is kind of really relevant when we're talking about all these incredibly powerful game-changing creatures.
Yeah, and it does make the decisions a little bit difficult, because sometimes it'll be easy to just kill the Birds of Paradise, but oftentimes that can be not where that damage should go. If there's a Necropotence in play, put a damage at the Necropotence
player.
That's
true.
You know what I mean?
That's like, true.
So there's a lot of different play to the card, which is really nice, and the fact that it's also just like two bodies. Sometimes, like when I'm playing playing Rock'Sai and I just want to like sacrifice two bodies and I have a red and a black, but I have a Culling of the Week and
Infernal Plunge.
Infernal Plunge, and then all of a sudden seven mana from the one creature card that I play or whatever. That can be really nice.
Honestly, that's nice with the Gaia's Cradle decks too. Like being able to make two bodies on your with your Bowmaster to help you get to the large creature count you need for your Gaia's Cradle combos to work.
Right, exactly. And it's not that just like a two mana creature for two bodies is good. That's not good. It does all that other shit, and then like it also
is
two bodies.
Yeah, right? It's because one of the bodies pings off creatures for the rest of the game, and the other body attacks players to death. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've also loved it with like Enduring Vitality, which is kind of the same thing as like Gaia's Cradle. I play Enduring Vitality in Sissei, and having the end step Orcish Bowmaster untap Enduring Vitality
right away.
It just like it helps you pay for Enduring Vitality for free, sort of. So,
and then again, you don't have to commit it because it has the flash speed. So being able to hold up the available mana to like if you need to counter something instead, like you can do that.
We already gave Lotho a 5-point Y. We're already on Y.
Lotho a 5-point Y. But aren't there decks that don't play Bowmaster? Like, how many times have you thought about cutting it from Rock'Sai?
I do think about cutting it from Rock'Sai. Is there a deck that doesn't play Bowmaster? Like, at least at some point?
Yeah, sometimes your Rock'Sai list and sometimes not. Probably should be in most decks.
I think realistically, it goes in most decks. I think it's better than Lotho, but it doesn't go in every deck. It's not as good as Sol Ring, right? Is there a deck that it doesn't go in? It doesn't go in, maybe, does Yawgmoth not play it? I don't know.
Let me think.
Is Kurik a consideration? I don't think either of those cards are considerations. Like, no, maybe, Yawgmoth definitely would play it. Maybe Kurik wouldn't.
Yeah, maybe there are certain decks where if you're trying to do your thing too much, there's definitely decks that don't play it. Proxied decks for the channel that definitely don't play Bowmaster.
And they could have?
I've raised eyebrows sometimes, but I also understand that like if they're trying to do their thing too hard, you can't waste a spot on Bowmaster because if it's not going to help your game plan, if it doesn't use your synergy to end up being like a win condition like all those other decks that we talked about, like I can understand why you might not want it. Like it's a metagame call a lot of the times, and sometimes might just sit there.
Right. Sometimes it just doesn't do anything. Sometimes it's irrelevant. I got to imagine it's better than Lotho, right?
I got to imagine it's better than Lotho too.
And Lotho is already a 5-point Y. So the only other option is 5.Z, and it's not the best thing.
Well, what if we added another thing after the letter then? Like we could do
W, X, Y. X. Maybe Lotho should be a 5X. Orcish Bowmaster is a 5Y.
Okay.
These are just numbers again.
I think that's fair for now. But this is also...
Are you writing that down?
I am writing that down, but I think this is also going to change because this is just the new cards that we're talking about. We still have like the previous top 10.
All the other ones.
That like we have to consider too.
So they're all going to move.
They're probably all going to move. What I think we should realistically do is start putting an extra column or a letter after the letter so that we can help differentiate these fives even more. So like it'll
just,
be like
what if we just rank them against each other? What if we don't give them ratings? We just rank them against each other. And right now the ranking is Orcish Bowmaster, Lotho, Valley Floodcaller.
Oh,
that makes the most sense.
That does make the most, only because I'm on my phone now. All right. Well, now knowing all of this, where do you want to put Voice of Victory?
Oh, right.
This one's really new, but
very new.
It mobilizes for two upon attack, which makes you two attacking 1/1 bodies at the other players or just attacking in general.
They can go wherever you want, not even at the defending player.
And your opponents can't cast spells on your turn for 1 and a white, and you get a 1/3 for your troubles.
Feeds Gaia's Cradle. A big surprise, we're talking about that again for on your turn, sorcery speed, right? But the protection is what you're after. That Grand Abolisher effect for not white. Double pip is really tricky, especially in the faster multicolored turbo decks, 3+ colors. White is kind of tricky.
No, it's 1 and a white. Did I say white?
No, I'm saying Grand Abolisher. What white is tricky.
Yeah,
which
you're right.
Which is why Voice is really good because it's not that white mana cost.
Exactly. Yeah. Plus, it has a lot of extra synergy with a lot of other commanders that care about getting combat damage in. Like, weirdly enough, that flavor text on the top there for Mobilize 2 works super well with Timna.
So
it works super well with Derevi. Like a lot of these other decks that care about them getting in.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this one's hard to rate too because this one is, it feels to me like somewhere around Valley Floodcaller, but it might be even higher than that. When we rated this one when it came out, we said this one goes in every single deck, which would be a 5.Z. I don't know that it's exactly that because, surprise, I'm not playing it in Sissei. That's not a lot to consider.
You're not on Voice in Sissei.
I took it out of Sissei. say. No, basically anything that's like not a legendary or makes mana, there's no reason for it.
All right. Well, that sounds like a casual deck now. These are my stipulations.
I'm not the only one. No other pilots are playing it either.
No, I mean, I think that's fair, but I think that's because of your deck not needing to cast spells to win.
Right.
Most decks need to cast spells to win.
Right. I have Teferi. I have Kutzel. I have ways to win at instant speed. A lot of them.
In theory, though, you're playing worse options because
you can
mold
with
your commander and they work a little bit better.
Exactly. Yeah, because it works with the strategy better.
I almost don't want to knock Voice of Victory for that.
You gotta.
Because it's not like Voice of Victory is bad in that deck. I think Voice is better than Valley Floodcaller.
That's probably true.
It doesn't have to be true for you if you don't think it's true.
No, I think it might be a little bit better than Valley Floodcaller, but I think it's around that area. I don't think it's a 5Z. It's not doesn't, like, since Sisse, you have to consider Sisse because it's a tier one deck, and like any of the tier one and two decks, like there are cards that do go in all of those decks. Sol Ring does go in Sisse and right. Every single deck.
That's a 5Z.
Like, there are cards that go in every single deck no matter what. There's just not very few of them. So every deck that the card doesn't go in takes a very minuscule amount off of its rating, I feel. Right?
Yeah, I think that does make sense. So it won't get a 5Z because of that.
Right.
But like, it would still get like a 5Y a bowl of spaghetti then too.
Yeah.
Because then it does have a lot of that other synergy with a lot of those other commanders, like I say, which I do think is very important. And it's a lot of those tier one commanders too,
yeah,
that it works really well with.
Is it better than Lotho?
I think it's better than Lotho. I think it's better than Lotho. I think what it does is also something that I want to consider a little bit more too, because like the uninteractability on your turn, like having Baseju and Odawara be the only things that your opponents can do on your turn, it gives you more protection than even what like Valley Floodcaller would allow. So it kind of does that a little bit better on that side.
Instead of needing
to wait for a player to be winning and all of the interaction to go away, you can allow the other players to have to stare at their interaction in their hand,
right?
Because there's absolutely nothing that they can do.
Yeah, Cavern or Souls on Voices or on what would you name? Human. It's a human, right?
Human.
It's
human. I would name
which
human.
Which is kind of perfect, right? Because you already want to name Cavern on Human because you're Grand Abolisher and you're Timna and whatever else.
Honestly, you're Ranger Captain of Eos, so awesome. I feel like it fits perfectly into this triangle now.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Is it better than Orcish Bowmaster?
That's a great question.
It's close, right?
I think it's really close. Three bodies is more than two, but they don't stick around.
I'm certainly more excited to play Voice than Bowmaster, but that might be because it's new, and if I'm playing this card, there's a good chance I can win the game soon. Bowmaster sometimes does nothing.
I also would... I have two things. I add this card to a deck before I add Orcish Bowmaster.
Okay.
Because I want that protection. I think that's like more important than a value creature removal engine. I think this is a card that you can sneak into play before you're ready to win. It might hit some removal, but I think that more so than Grand Abolisher, you can get it in past the turn and then wait until your next turn, recuperate the mana that you tapped, and then be able to win on that follow-up turn.
Yeah, definitely. Especially just because it's a little bit easier to cast on turn one since you can use Simeon Spirit Guide to help pay for it. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, right?
That makes it like much different where you can go like, this is just what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, if you cast the Grand Abolisher on turn one, that normally, the warning signs are a little bit bigger, I think. I do think this is better than Orcish Bowmaster.
I think so too. Yeah. It's our top creature right
now.
Okay,
this is our top creature.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
All right, so now that brings us into the original top 10 creatures list that we had.
Okay, so only four cards we think that have been, or I guess six technically, that have been, were the honorable mentions. Fairy Mastermind was printed last time, no?
Fairy Mastermind was not printed last time.
Sewing Michael Spawn, we already talked, that's all under there too. Anything else that's new that came out? We'll figure it out as we go.
Let's hit the list. If you think of anything else, but I was searching through some deck lists, and I don't think there's any other cards that I think are like better than some of the other stuff that we have on here already.
There's just a specific cards that I would want to talk about, like Pippin, but
we're not.
It can protect from Biseiju. Pippin can protect from Biseiju.
I don't want to talk about every single new card that was printed is the other thing.
We're already at 40 minutes.
Like, yeah, because
so,
like I could talk about all the good Itali cards. And I could talk about every single creature that was printed, but I want to scrutinize and I only want to talk about the best ones.
Okay, yeah, that sounds
exactly.
good.
So the number 10 creature that we had last time was Dothy Voidwalker.
Dump it. It's a shame. I think it's just a little too slow. Black is a little bit tricky.
Yeah, honestly, it's not a five anymore.
No way. I want it to be. I love that card. I love Dothy Voidwalker. But yeah, it's weirdly just a little bit too slow, I think, somehow.
So I don't think it's in contention for top 10 anymore. I'm just deleting it entirely. Yeah. Birds of Paradise was our number 9.
Still in there.
I kind of want to keep it in just to see where we would end up ranking it. I think it's worse than the four other cards that we talked about so far.
Better than Valley Floodcaller.
Which means it would be...
Right?
Birds got a bump because of Valley Floodcaller.
That's true. They work together, right?
Yeah.
Birds goes in every green deck.
Birds goes in every green deck.
Right?
Wow, yeah.
Is there
better than Lothal?
Maybe. Maybe there's some Jund Turbo Gnaws decks that don't play Birds, but I'm not even sure that that's right.
Every Jund Turbo Gnaws deck I put together played Birds.
Plays Birds, right?
Yeah, because it's still so good on turn one.
It's just the color fixing is just so worth the one toughness that it doesn't matter.
So Birds, yeah.
I think it's better than Lothal.
You think it's better than Lothal?
Yeah.
Lothal makes you so much more mana.
Yeah.
Makes you an embarrassingly large amount more of one mana of every color.
But it's hard to cast. You can't control it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mean...
And it's all temporary mana you get.
It's hard. It's very close.
Birds of Paradise is also only one turn.
And it's like hard because like two colors, when evaluating the card, two colors does reduce the value of the card because there's just less decks that it can... Like and it's hard to rate. Like, are we rating the power level of the card once it's in play? That's one thing. Lotho's stronger than Birds there, but it costs you two mana of specific pips that you have to get. So it's tougher.
We have to consider everything, really. Because everything that we say about a card is something we have to consider about it.
I think it's better than Lotho.
I think you're right. I think it's better than Lotho. Now we're looking at Bowmaster. And is it better than Bowmaster?
Right or no?
I don't know. Now I don't have to worry about the Bowmaster. Like, Bowmaster, we're back to having one color.
It's tough because Bowmaster is good against Birds. So
that's
like,
the thing. I don't want to judge that too harshly for that. Would you rather a Bowmaster down on turn one or Birds?
Normally Birds, but it depends on the rest of your hand. If I have Mulligan to Oblivion and I have nothing else, it's my final card, I want it to be Bowmaster. If I have Rhystic Study coming up next turn, I would love it for it to be Birds. So it really depends. I mean, Birds helps you win more. Orcish Bowmaster is just something to do.
Should we consider how bad of a top deck Birds is? Game, Birds is bad, but all of these other cards are still great whenever you get them.
Lotho's a little bit, but yeah, I see what you mean. Lotho does, it continues to be good.
The longer Lotho's around, the better that he is, right? So he's just compound interest, but which I guess same is for Birds. Yep. But Lotho being able to, I don't know. I think Lotho's better, a better draw in the late game than Birds
is. Oh, big time, yeah. In most decks, yeah. In Sisay, Lotho is two color pips. In any other deck, if we're in Rhystic Study world, no one's countering the Lotho, but over time, it'll probably make three or four more treasures. Two to make four is really good. If Lotho makes you four treasures, it's doing very, very good work.
I don't Birds think has to of survive. Birds of Paradise as a format-defining card, but maybe I'm not thinking about it right, because it kind of is everywhere, and just because it's the oldest of all the cards and it's less flashy does not mean that it is weak.
It doesn't have as high as the impact as some of these other cards, but it does help you with the consistency, which is quietly the most important part of CDH. Any deck can win early. It matters that if your deck can win early a lot, many times.
So it's better than Bowmaster.
I think so.
Is it better than Voice of Victory?
Maybe it's not better than... Dude, I don't know. This is hard.
This is really hard. Because it was 9, 2.5 years ago.
9
out of
10?
It was our number 9.
Our 9 pick.
Our 9 pick, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
The 9th best creature in CEDH is what we gave it.
I think it should be less than Bowmaster, I think.
But better than Lotho?
But better than Lotho, I think? Yeah, yeah. It just goes in more decks. You want it in your opening
hand. I'm typing and thinking at the same time.
Yeah. For now.
For now, yeah.
I think it's better than Lotho, worse than Bowmaster.
You're right. It has the availability to go in more decks. While it is a bad top deck, the earlier you get it, the more mana you're going to get out of it. It has gotten a boost since Valley Floodcaller has been around.
Yep, that's true.
And again, every deck can play it, and it's just a consistent staple that will always be good for every single deck. I like it right there.
Okay.
I like it right there. Okay. So Opposition Agent was our number 8.
Oh.
And honestly,
I've lost some love for this card.
I don't think I'm considering it for top 10 either. I think we're just straight up deleting that one now too.
I think I like it. It's under Valley Floodcaller for me, for sure.
Yeah, I would say so too.
I think it just, although it still can be really, really good.
It doesn't work well with like any deck in particular.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing I've realized is that you're not getting a ton of stuff off of it. Like
right.
You're getting one person once and then it's a stacks
and
piece.
Then you, yeah.
And in CEDH, like, I don't know how much we want to be considering the current metagame. I think we should be because we can update this later in the future. Then yeah. When the metagame changes, but like right now it doesn't make sense to have a stacks piece that's in play if it's not going to help you get to a more consistent way to win the game right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I agree. You're like leaning a lot.
I know, I'm realizing that.
Yeah. Yeah, Bowmaster doesn't create on its own, although it can be really good. I want to just push for myself. So right now it's under Valley Floodcaller for me.
So last time we had Simeon Spirit Guide at number 7.
Yeah.
We specifically had Simeon Spirit Guide here and not Elvish Spirit Guide because we said that Simeon Spirit Guide cast Underworld Breach and Dockside Extortionist. So it was more important to get
that. Now that there's no Dockside, that has changed slightly.
But Underworld Breach is still a very important card for the decks that are playing Simeon Spirit Guide. But I also think Elvish Spirit Guide has seen more play.
That is...
I don't know if that's true.
That might be true.
That might be. I still didn't run it in Thrasios Timna, though.
Yeah, no, nor did I. I know some Sisse lists play Elvish Spirit Guide, not Simeon Spirit Guide. The green mana is more important in that list. It's specific.
That makes sense.
But when you have the option to play both, it super depends. The red one's probably better still. Where do you put this one, though? It doesn't go in every... I think it's worse than Valley Floodcaller, right?
I was thinking that it's better than Oppo, but worse than Valley Floodcaller.
That sounds right to me.
I'm going to combine both of the Spirit Guides this time.
Yeah, I just put them back to back. I still think Simeon's better. It's just because of the breach and because of the decks that want the red mana want it faster than the green decks who have other options still. So it ends up seeing more play in more red decks comparatively.
You know, I think that is true. Yeah. I think my Itali brand is thinking differently, but even still, the red one's better in Itali. Then our number 6 card was Grand Abolisher.
This one's dropped a lot because of voice. Still good. We had this one better than the Spirit Guides, which it still is. Better than Valley Floodcaller?
Yeah, and I would still say better than Lotho.
Better than Lotho? Huh. It's close. Close here. That white, that pip. Is tricky.
So is Pip on Lotho, too.
Is it? I feel like Black-White's easier than White-White.
Just fetch correctly, I would say. Just fetch correctly.
But then you have to have two lands that produce white.
I guess. Whereas, I would say that...
Whereas, if with Lotho, you can have 4 colors worth of lands, whereas with Grand Abolisher, you must have only 3 colors worth of lands, or Command Tower or something.
So, I still really like uber extra protection that Grand Abolisher gets me.
Yeah.
Like, with the unable to activate abilities of creatures, artifacts, and enchantments that are in play, too, like, really makes me feel way more safe than a lot of the other effects like this on creatures end up doing.
The no activating of abilities of artifacts and creatures and stuff like that is also helpful because like under Voice of Victory, Sisse, I can still win on your turn when you are playing that. I can win with casting no spells. I can activate only abilities and on your protected win, if I have enough treasures or mana or whatever, I can still present a win. The Grand Abolisher, I cannot do that. I can't even activate stuff, right?
But I guess if I put Grand Abolisher on the stack, in response, I'm going to activate Sisse and then you start to go through your line.
Yeah. I could do that.
So, like, it still gives you the option to do that, but, like...
But it's at a time where the other players can still interact. You know what I mean? Like,
they have to interact with you.
They can swords me or whatever.
Instead of my stuff.
So, you're right. What Grand Abolisher offers is much stronger than what Voice offers. Just the extra bodies and the easier to cast makes Voice.
And the extra synergy with a bunch of other commanders with the modular or the mobilize.
I think it's better than Lotho, better than Bowmaster.
But worse than Voice.
But That's tough. That's like recency bias. I think that's affecting my opinion on this.
I feel like Grand Abolish is still better.
It's kind of tricky because you would almost never tutor Voice over Grand Abolisher.
You will always Eldritch Evolution for Grand Abolisher over any of these other things.
Right.
Trying to
like Necropotence is way better than Necrodominance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, why would you ever choose the backup option?
Right. Like, so there are reasons why you could choose Voice, but if you're searching for it, the reason is you want the protection probably. That extra bodies, those are bonuses for later.
And I feel like I want to put an emphasis on the importance of the silence creatures and just like how
they're format defining.
Yeah, exactly. And because like everything is warping around interaction, card draw, like being able to negate all of those things and just say, I want to win, I think is just incredibly important. So I kind of do want to put some emphasis on that.
Is it better than Voice though?
I'm going to say it's better than Voice because of the extra protection.
Okay.
The extra protection aspect of it is good for all decks, whereas Mobilize is only good for a few.
I agree. Yes. Grand Abolisher is currently the best creature card in CDH that we've talked about so far.
If it was a 2-1, I would say Voice is better.
Yeah, the toughness is relevant.
Yeah, but I think that it's still having a second toughness, I think, is really good.
Yep,
yeah. Drannith Magistrate was our number 5.
It's dropped a little, but still very strong.
It's still a very powerful effect for this format.
Yeah.
But it's not something that every deck plays.
Yeah.
Most 4-color white decks are dropping this card, I would say.
I think so.
I haven't seen it in a lot of Tim the Crom list.
And I don't play it in Tim the Thrasios.
Yeah, I cut it from Tim the Thrasios too. Because like it's a stacks piece through and through. It's a very powerful stacks piece that stops people from winning the game, but succumbs to, I'm going to remove it when I'm ready to win the game problem.
And it's still, it's probably the most powerful stacks piece in CDH. Stacks probably, just sucks right now. Stacks is just not good.
Exactly. And a lot of times what it ends up doing is shutting out two players from their commanders and letting another player still do their thing.
Rog'Thras already put their commanders in play and they get or whatever. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's certainly dropped off worse than Valley Floodcaller. That's right now for some reason the point that I think Valley Floodcaller might be 10. I don't know why.
Worse than the Spirit Guides, I would say though too. Drannith Magistrate.
Right?
Yeah.
That feels a little weird to say, but yeah, I think you're right.
What about Oppo? What do you put it versus Oppo? Still better than Oppo?
Yes. I think still better than Oppo. Although Oppo does give you, it helps you win the game. Drannith doesn't help you win the game.
Sometimes you don't have the opportunity to use the thing that you get because someone else won because all you did was spend your mana on stopping one person.
Right. And they don't need to tutor and the person after just wins the game.
Oh, thank God you tapped out.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll feel bad.
Drannith is better than Opposition Agent, I think.
All right. Now it's going to get a little hard.
I'm not seeing you writing anything. Are you keeping track? Are you good with where everything is?
Yeah. I have the list of everything. Yeah.
It's in the right order?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we're good. Okay. We're good. Yeah. Right. Esper Sentinel's next.
Still so good.
Still so good. I mean,
I think the best creatures in the format are going to be white somehow.
So it's better than Birds of Paradise, right?
Better than Birds.
Better than Bowmaster. Because it comes down earlier.
Yeah.
And it does something way better.
It's so good. It's I would mulligan to 2 to look for Command Tower Esper Sentinel and be like, all right.
I'm happy.
I'm okay. I would feel good. I would feel okay with that mulligan to 2. Bowmaster, no world is it good like that.
Is it better than Voice of Victory and Grand Abolisher?
I want it more in my opener. I want it less when I'm looking to win the game. It you'll die to it if you try to Thoracle.
I almost still want it when I'm trying to win the game, though, in most decks. Like, the only win condition that I don't want it for, then, is
when you going to
be Thassa's Oracle.
Just keep it in mind.
Like every other deck, like, I want it in play for when I'm trying to win so that if there is interaction that I'm trying to fade, I get fed. I think it's better than the Silence Creatures. I'm going to put it above Grand Abolisher.
I think you're right.
And
Voice
of Victory.
I don't play Grand Abolisher or Voice in Sisse, but I do play Esper Sentinel.
There you go.
It's not a legend. It fits on no themes in Sisse. It's just powerful card draw, and that's just good enough to go in every single white.
There's this triangle of the 3 best card draw effects in the 99 of all CEDH decks, and it's Rhystic Study, Mystic Remora, and Esper Sentinel.
Yeah.
The fact that Esper Sentinel is considered in that category with those 2 30-year-old all-star cards, like, this is wild.
Yeah, I agree. So right now, I think it's better than Voice. It's probably the best creature in CEDH that we have talked about so far.
I think so, too. Although, I think it's going to get knocked down a peg still.
Okay.
Because Ranger Captain of Eos was our number 3 last time.
This is another one that works well together. I think Ranger Captain's worse than Esper, though.
Okay, so the reason why we had it above, and I think this still holds true, is that Ranger Captain comes with Esper Sentinel stapled to it.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, Ranger Captain is an Esper Sentinel.
So,
yeah.
Like, it has all the Ranger Captain of Eos abilities on it.
Yeah.
But it also says either this turn or next turn, it also has an Esper Sentinel.
I 100% agree with you. In the decks that can play it, it's great. There are some decks that don't play Ranger Captain, though.
You know what? And maybe also, like, Esper Sentinel turn one is different than turn two or turn three Esper Sentinel.
Exactly.
Two.
Yeah. Okay, like, the reason why Esper is good is because you get it out on turn one with nothing. Ranger Captain is great, but again, for some reason, I mentioned Pip-Pip a lot recently, but like the Pip-Pip is a little bit trickier. It makes it so that the five color piles are less interested. It makes it so it's a little bit harder to cast. Same thing, Sis, say I'm playing Esper Sentinel. I'm not playing Ranger Captain. Makes no sense. But
the ability to have the Grand Abolisher effect, though, on your opponent's turn, I think is like
so good.
So good. Yeah. Though. So I would put it one under Esper Sentinel, but I think it's still better than Voice of Victory and Grand Abolisher.
Huh.
The flexibility.
Better than Grand Abolisher, no.
Yeah, dude, the flexibility. Because I can't.
It only shuts off non-creatures, though.
It
does stop your opponents,
like,
though.
Endurance is the only other thing that
everything,
really affects.
There's little shitty solitudes. No one plays that.
Yeah,
right?
You're gonna flash in. If you flash in your Bowmaster on top of my Thrasios win, I'm going to win on top of whatever you do.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're right, yeah. And it's much better at stopping other people. It's great at buying you a turn. People are like, oh, I was going to win on turn two, now I can't. And then it comes back to me, and now I just go and win.
Yeah, that's what happens a lot of the time. You play it and then you stave off wins, right? And it just lets you win.
Maybe it is better than Grand Abolisher.
I think it's better than Grand Abolisher. Yeah, extra power, extra toughness. It's threatening, and sometimes sacrificing it actually works out because certain decks like Kenrith can get it back into play,
sure,
so that you can reuse it later. Yeah. Or if you play Agatha's Soul Cauldron in your deck, you just give that ability to all of your creatures. Like, there's way more synergy that you can have with it being an activated ability versus it just being something static on these other creatures.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, it comes with either a clone or a Ragavan or an Esper Sentinel too.
Yeah, Mockingbird has made Ranger Captain a lot better too.
And the more one drops that get printed, the better this card is only going to get. So it's only going to escalate from here.
That's true. I feel like it has lost some popularity recently, where I see it a little bit less recently. I haven't seen it in every single deck, where I still see Esper Sentinel every single deck, but I don't see Voice in every single deck. So yeah, I think it's around Voice. I would be okay with it being better.
We
than
also
Voice.
Don't see Grand Abolish in every deck, but again, I think that it's this effect that is way more powerful.
It goes hand in hand with Grand Abolisher. If your deck can support Grand Abolisher, it can support Ranger
Captain.
What
are you doing if you're,
you know what I mean? It's the exact same thing. And then same thing with Voice. So I think those three are realistically the exact same, but Ranger Captain has so much higher potential.
Yeah.
It does so much more on its own, so it's better than both of them.
I think there's a lot of decks that can probably tweak their mana bases to be able to support them if they're not currently support them. Sisay might be another story because you're trying to do Wooburg stuff and you have other options to replace, like, Ranger Captain in particular at the 3-mana level, right? But, like, I think there might be other decks that just don't run them because, like, oh, I'm still a 5-color deck, right? Like, I think maybe there's something you can do with your mana base to try to make it a little more flexible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's coming from big fucking place of ignorance.
Sisay, I think, is a lot like Magda in that, like, you can't really think about it like a regular deck. It's doing something kind of very specific.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, the choices that it makes don't really affect the power level of the card, but they do in the sense that, like, we're looking at these cards in the sense of CDH. So all the decks that could play them that are near the top tables, we have to factor that in when thinking of how good the card is, because how many decks the card can see play is part of how good it is.
Exactly, yeah. So our number two card was Thassa's Oracle last time.
I still think this one is,
it's got to be up there.
I get that it does nothing on its own. We talked about this a little bit in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's garbage on its own. It's still the most powerful win con in the format. Even if other things are seeing more popularity or whatever, it's still just too efficient to not be.
For Thassa's Oracle in particular, I think it's best to evaluate it when you're casting Thassa's Oracle.
Right. Yeah.
Which is when you're going to win the game.
Which is when you're winning the game.
And what it will do is create a nigh interactable scenario for your opponent where they have to interact with something else that's not Thassa's Oracle.
They could red blast. They could counter it. It's specifically only weak to counter spells, I think. There are a decent amount of counter spells. All of the interaction in the format of CDH is heavy on counter spells because of Thassa's Oracle, right? You need an option.
But so many other win conditions can be interacted with bounce or something like that.
Right.
And that's a huge part part of the format's interaction suite.
Right, yeah, exactly. So you need the counter spells, but yeah, Thassa Zorko is still the best creature in the format for me.
We're still putting that on top.
At least out of the ones we've talked about, for me personally, I think it's better than Esper Sentinel.
I think it is too, yeah. I don't know why people think this card is boring. Thassa's Oracle is always the most exciting card when it goes on the stack.
Because you finally get to the end, and you got there a different way every time.
Exactly, yeah. Like, that's the card that makes my heart pound more than any other card that I play.
Especially because, like, you always got to think about, what if someone's playing something weird? Can someone crop rotation for Cephalid Colosseum right now?
There's always something funny like that that makes you laugh. And then you go, oh my God, my library's consulted away or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I still think this one is top
it's
of the top.
So much fun.
What
was
the
other?
What was the number one from last time we talked about?
Dockside Extortionist.
No shit. Yeah, that makes sense.
That does make sense.
So we rated Dockside Strongest. If we're rating Thassa's Oracle as the strongest creature now, that means Thassa's Oracle is the next card to get banned, right?
That would make sense. Right? Yeah. So in 2 years from today, Thassa's Oracle is going
and
to
what do
get
we have?
Banned.
We have Esper Sentinels. What's the top 10?
Well, we're also going to get way more creatures then too. So we might get something else that'll get banned too. All right. So our number 10 now is Simeon Spirit Guide.
Top 10 creatures in CDH as of 2025.
That aren't commanders.
That aren't commanders. Oh, in the 99. And what's the month right now? May?
And it's currently
May of 2025.
Unless I gave this one to Cubby to edit, and then it's June.
And then it's June.
Okay. Okay. So our number 10 is Simeon Spirit Guide.
And kind of Elvish Spirit Guide, but Simeon Spirit Guide is a better one. So Simeon Spirit Guide, yeah.
Well, you specifically wanted to separate them.
Yeah.
And that actually kicked Elvish Spirit Guide out. Okay. So
I stand
by it. It's your fault. All right. So then our number 9 is Valley Floodcaller, which you were right. I thought this would be way higher.
Yeah. I don't know why. I had a gut. It would be around number 9, number 10. But yeah, we're one
no,
off.
No, I think you're right. It's way powerful. It just, in my head, I was like, this is going to be way higher. But no, I think we're right. I think we're right. Because number 8's Lotho, which I think is also right. Number 7 is Birds of Paradise, which got a 2 bump up in the list since
Weird.
Then. Yeah. Number 6 then is Orcish Bowmaster.
Okay.
And then number 5 is Voice of Victory.
Yep.
Number 4 is Grand Abolisher. Number 3 is Ranger Captain of Eos. Stayed the same.
Yeah.
Grand Abolisher got a bump up. Number 2 is Esper Sentinel, which also got a huge bump up. Bump up of 2. And then our number 1 is Thassa's Oracle.
Okay, yeah.
Which also got a bump up because Dockside getting banned changed the list a lot.
I think this makes sense. It feels strange to have so many white cards, white creatures on the list, but I think it makes sense.
I knew that when we did this, the top 4 or 5 was going to be exactly this. Actually, like the top 5 I knew would be pretty much this. Because like I think it's pretty much undisputable that the best things that you're going to do in this format are going to be protection or card draw or just literally
or the
best win condition.
Win the game, protect your win, card draw to find the win.
Yeah. So the creatures that can do that are going to be the ones that I'm going to be drawn to and want to have the most.
Yeah.
Whereas like everything else is just really good value or mana.
Yeah, and we've certainly got, there are other cards, especially out of Bloomburrow. There's stuff like we talked about, Enduring Vitality a little bit, that is like a really great card.
I was out of Duskmourne, but still.
Really?
Yeah. The whole, that Vitality cycle was, like a deer, though.
It works, it looks like a deer, and it works so well with the Valley Floodcaller. I kind of thought those were the same for some reason, but yeah, you're 100% right. There are certainly cards like that. We talked about the Sowing Michael spawn. There are a bunch of, Ragavan is another one that's like very powerful in a lot of decks.
That we certainly could have considered again, I was really tough on a lot of the cards that came out in the past couple of years. Again, because design has been focusing on increasing the power of creatures and having them be the focus of Magic the Gathering as a whole. So I really want to make sure that we're only considering the best of the best.
Yeah.
So,
and I think these are the best. They go in the most decks. They're the most impactful when they're in play. You either want them in the early game when you're mulliganing, or you want them in the end when you're trying to win the game.
What other cards do you think are the best in CEDH that are creatures that go in the 99 that aren't commanders and go in most decks and aren't like super specific to one deck?
Thank you so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Mr. Jerby, The Cardbook Cookbook, Penguinman 0089, Eli the Magic Guy, David Newman, Pat Fire, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groupie, Gecko 21, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Gare Bear Garrett, Luke Cook, Connor Sipon, Joshua Day, Peter Stewart, Connor Wild, Uncle Buds, Kwaja A. Hamid, Scott Hawk, and Baby G-Bus. Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below.
You can follow us on social media for more content.
Go to PlayToWinMTG.com for merch.
I'll see you next time.
John Koba, the Gaming Kinkajou, Dan the Man, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin Mansolo, Aces, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
Well, cut.
Cut. All right, thanks. Bye. I meant to ask how they're going to bill me, but I don't think they care. I'm sorry about that.
Plumbing issues?
Yeah, so my toilet's been running for...
Why don't you go catch it?
Well, I'm not fast enough, Dad. Wow, that was dark.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.